Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, June 10th. I'm Ala Kuziz. Former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan will be sentenced this week on multiple corruption charges. But the formerly powerful Democrat is getting advice to seek help from Republican President Donald Trump.
He's giving away pardons like candy.
Pardons, like politics, can make for strange bedfellows. That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. President Donald Trump signed off on Governor Mike Kehoe's request to get federal aid to victims of the May 16 tornado. Trump's approval of a major disaster declaration request means tornado victims can get access to federal emergency management agency funds for housing, transportation, health care, and child care. But since hundreds of FEMA employees either retired or were fired since Trump returned to office, St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says the city is expected to play a major role in educating people about applying for aid.
We do anticipate that we're going to play an active role. We're going to be required to play an active role, and we are positioning ourselves to be ready to play that active role.
The state and city are also preparing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars for tornado victims. Juan Baltazar was one of five people who were killed in last month's tornado. He was driving through Carondelet Park when a tree fell on his pickup truck and crushed it, killing him in minutes. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, Baltazar's mother is in mourning, but is grateful to have experienced a loving son.
As soon as Juana Gonzalez heard about the death of her son, Juan, she immediately hopped on a bus from Piedras Negras, Mexico, to St. Louis to be with her grandchildren and daughter-in-law. Gonzalez speaks Spanish, so we used an online translator to speak to one another. She said she talked to him every day, and she's still waiting for him to call.
Que todo el tiempo me hablaba, a todas horas me hablaba, ahora todas las mañanas le digo...
Gonzalez says she's still in disbelief and she wishes it was all a dream. His funeral is June 15th at Hughes Funeral Alternatives, St. Louis. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The deadly May 16 tornado also damaged nearly 10,000 buildings, including at least 12 schools in the St. Louis Public School District. STLPR's Heba Ahmed reports.
$1.8 million. That's the initial assessment of damages to a dozen schools in the district. Those costs cover things like tarps for damaged roofs at Ashland Elementary School and Soldan International Studies High School, along with debris removal and boarding up blown-out windows. Superintendent Millicent Borchardt said that she hasn't made any final decisions, but has warned that some of the damage to the buildings is extensive. She's not sure if they'll be able to reopen in time for the first day of school, which is August 18th. The district has a plan in place for any schools that may not open. They will redirect those students to partner schools within the district, many of which that have the space to accommodate hundreds of additional students. Families will be notified of any changes in the coming weeks. I'm Heba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
North St. Louis County has an extreme lack of primary care providers, leading to higher rates of certain diseases and other health issues. Federally qualified health center, Afinia Healthcare, is hoping to lessen this burden. Its new family medicine residency program recently received full accreditation. Program director Dr. Kenneth Hemba says residents will be working at community partners in the area, including Christian Hospital.
One of our main goals is really training through service. This idea that we are out in the areas where care is needed.
The three-year program will allow residents to practice the full scope of primary care, from delivering babies to geriatric medicine. A total of four residents will be selected to start next summer. Voters in the special election to fill the 8th Ward seat at the St. Louis Board of Aldermen will not see party labels on their ballots. The five candidates to replace Kara Spencer are currently on the ballot with their names only. A judge last week rejected a request from the city's Democratic Central Committee to force election officials to add party affiliation. The lawsuit argued that leaving off party labels violated the right of the Central Committee to promote its chosen candidate. The Central Committee says it's frustrated by the ruling and is evaluating its options. Election officials declined to comment. Absentee voting for the July 1st election is already underway. Illinois teachers are getting new guidelines on how to use artificial intelligence in the classroom. Teaching fellows with the nonprofit advocacy organization Teach Plus developed a bill that state lawmakers approved last month. Sarah Merman is a math teacher and one of the fellows. She says the group took input from 200 educators across the state.
It was very clear teachers needed more guidance and they needed more training on AI. It's something that's in our classrooms every day. And to be frank, teachers don't feel comfortable using it.
The proposal directs the State Board of Education to develop new guidance by next summer on how schools can use AI while avoiding bias and navigating privacy concerns with student data. The bill still needs Governor J.B. Pritzker's signature to become law. The decade-long criminal pursuit of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan finally comes down to this. On Friday, a man once regarded as the state's most powerful politician will be sentenced for multiple corruption convictions. If Madigan gets a long prison term, could his next step be to seek relief from President Trump? Reporters John Seidel and Dave McKenney tried to find out.
Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich knows what Madigan is up against now. Blagojevich got 14 years for multiple corruption convictions, and Madigan is looking at more than a dozen years if prosecutors get their way. The two have been bitter rivals, considering how the ex-speaker launched impeachment efforts against Blagojevich 16 years ago. But now, Blagojevich says he carries no ill will toward Madigan and only offers his empathy. He told me, "I wouldn't wish what he's going through right now on my worst enemy, and Madigan was my worst enemy."
I'm John Seidel, federal courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Madigan's expected to face federal judge John Blakey this Friday. The sentencing will cap the most expansive corruption investigation in Chicago since Blagojevich. But things have changed a lot in the past decade, and even in the last few months. Starting with the president aggressively undoing convictions and prison terms with the stroke of his pen. Earlier this year, Trump granted Blagojevich a pardon he didn't expect. And in late May, Trump commuted the federal prison term of Gangster Disciples co-founder Larry Hoover. Madigan's legal team won't say if they're also trying to get the president's attention, and there's nothing to suggest that anything's afoot. So I asked Chicago defense lawyer Michael Ettinger, who once represented Blagojevich's brother in federal court, what he would do if he were Madigan's attorney. Would he seek clemency for Madigan?
Immediately. Because of Trump's mindset right now and what some prosecutors and judges tried to do to him. I don't think I'd wait an hour till after sentencing before I'd file it.
Ettinger says Madigan's crimes only involved people getting paid to do little or no work, not something where someone died or lost their life savings.
And in the political world, some also question whether Madigan's next move might be to petition the White House. Political podcaster Joe Walsh was a one-term Northwest suburban Tea Party Republican congressman. He's anti-Trump and a recent convert to the Democratic Party. Walsh never directly interacted with Madigan, but he says the partisan congressional maps that Madigan blessed drove him from Congress in 2012. Walsh says it's entirely plausible that Madigan would want to get his case before Trump.
He's giving away pardons like candy now, like we've never seen. And he's easily influenced by people who've been loyal to him and who get to him. So if Madigan can find somebody like that, it's utterly believable that that would happen.
Walsh says Blagojevich could get Trump's attention. That would be one of the most unforeseeable, table-turning situations in Illinois politics in decades, because Madigan significantly hindered Blagojevich's legislative agenda as governor, and it was Madigan who pushed to drive Blagojevich permanently from state office after his FBI arrest.
Blagojevich won't say whether Madigan's camp has asked for his help winning an audience with Trump. Saying anything about that, he says, would be inappropriate ahead of Madigan's sentencing. But Blagojevich did offer this: desperate times call for desperate measures. Just how desperate the 83-year-old Madigan turns out to be might hinge on whether he has to stay in prison until his mid-90s. I'm John Seidel.
And I'm Dave McKinney.
This story comes to us from WBEZ in Chicago. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.